Chinese-American pianist Shaiyin Wang has been on a Spanish-Latin kick recently. Her last album was Ginastera's Piano Concerto No. 2. Her new recording celebrates the music of Enrique Granados. It features his Goyesca suite, along with the Allegro de Concierto, his 8 poetic waltzes, and then a really fun stamping dance. She'll tell you more about it on this week's episode of New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher. Enjoy. Shaiyin, let's start off by just having you tell me how the piano became such a driving force in your life.
When I was back in kindergarten, my parents told me, I don't know if I remember everything, but my parents told me I loved the music classes and was always the last one to leave the classroom, would stay behind and try to imitate what the teacher just did on the keyboard. From then, the teacher discovered that I had a huge interest for piano and persuaded my parents to start piano lessons for me. That's how I started. And so far, so good. I'm enjoying every bit of it.
Well, you started off as a more advanced piano student. You went off to the Shanghai Conservatory, and that's where you really built a foundation for your love of music. And then about 21 years ago, you moved to New York City to study at the Manhattan School of Music. How did your studies change at that point?
Yes, interestingly, it was a big change for me because the two very different culture-based education system is very different. So in China, Shanghai Conservatory was very keen on great preparation and training for the technique. And usually we had lessons every week three times, and each time would last 2 to 3 hours. And each week there is a studio class where students play for each other and the teacher will comment and critique. And this was very helpful to always keep performing. But I felt the technical foundation was a big part in a very strict, very disciplined training in China. As the change in over here, there's a little more freedom on delivering the ideas of music which I'm playing, and I had more wider imaginations of what I could bring into the music. But to me, I have evaluated both sides. I think when I was in my teens, it was the good time to have a good foundation for technique, and the technique serves for music. So when I came here, I had some place to use for. The ideas came in, and teachers were not too keen on you have to play this way, you have to play that way, but to be like almost just like a assistant on the side, and you, myself, I could make my own decisions on the musical ideas. So that was a major difference. But both ways worked out perfectly for me.
Well, I think one of the things I remember from music theory a million years ago was you have to know the rules before you can break them, right?
Yes.
So then when you came to the Manhattan School of Music, you had a chance to kind of discover your own style. And what did you discover about yourself?
I think I was more emotional than I thought I was. Well, I think each great pianist or great musician, let's say, or even just artists, and they have very wide range of moods. I would say wide range of emotions and expressiveness. I felt that I was more able to let that part of me out into the music. And I love romantic music, of course, but as you can see, I have all kinds of genres in my recordings and repertoire. I was able to free my imagination. That's the biggest change that I felt.
So you brought up your discography, and I found a couple of Rachmaninoff recordings, and then most recently, Ginastera's Piano Concerto No. 2. Do you have more recordings than that?
Yes, I do. I have, I think, about 13 CDs that's out there, and there will be another one coming out soon. Is the Ginastera Concerto No. 1 and his Concerto Argentino. That will be out, I believe, sometime this year as well.
So you're kind of in a Spanish Latin phase right now.
Yes, yes.
And it's interesting because when you talked about how you discovered you were much more emotional in the way that you would present the music than you thought you were once you came to the Manhattan School of Music and discovered your own style. And what's interesting about that to me is as I'm listening to the music of Enrique Granados on this recording, one of the first things I thought of was how emotional this music is and how it's packed with so many moods.
Oh, yes. Lots of mood swings in his music. He's great in the writing of emotional deep ups and downs with emotion. I call it like the emotional roller coaster. Every time I practice, especially the number 5 in this Goyesca suite, it's the love and death. Oh my, I feel in my heart every time. Like, my heart is sweaty because it's so emotional. It's beautiful. It's absolutely worth it to experience every note of it. He is a great composer.
That's also the longest of those 6 pieces, too.
Yes.
I mean, if you look at it, you're being asked to do so many different things, and there's you're changing moods just throughout that one particular work, starting off in a more animated, dramatic fashion. And then you move into a lento. I mean, it's literally, it lists like, you know, almost a dozen different moods just in that 10 minutes, 11 minutes.
Right. And this is the only movement that actually has included all the themes of the 6. So he has, in this one particular, the love and death movement, all the themes from the previous movements are in this one. And it has a beautiful, beautiful, slow section. It's full of bitterness and sadness. My heart is crying if I play this. It's goosebumps and everything.
I also thought that the first movement is such a great way to start the set because it really kind of brings you in right away. I was almost thinking of Chopin as I was listening to that piece, like the Grand Polonaise that he wrote.
Oh, yes, actually. Yes, you're right. The Polonaise, the Grand Polonaise is, I believe it is in the same key. E-flat major, actually. Yes. The first one is based on a folk dance as well. The character of the dance, it's the second beat is the strum beat. It's a very flirtatious dance. So you can hear all these decorative notes are the flirtations. And it just goes more and more full of flirtation.
Well, and it's interesting to me as well that the fourth one, which is the lament or the Maha and the Nightingale, has been utilized in other ways even to create popular music.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Bésame mucho. Very famous tune. Everybody probably knows it. The fifth one is the most deepest, the greatest work, but the fourth one is well known the most. A lot of people played it as a single piece, actually, as a concert program. So it is heard the most. It's such beautiful melody. It's like a little set of variations. Each one gets more and more colorful, more and more lush. Perfumed with more beautiful harmonies. Because it's a nightingale, ends with the bird sound. Perfect little piece.
Could you talk a little bit about the artist upon which these pieces are based? I mean, Granados collected the artwork of Goya and then decided he was going to create these musical paintings to go with them. Would you talk a little bit about that and how that inspired him?
Yes, I think Francisco Goya, a very famous Spanish painter, Granados has deep admiration for him. All his paintings has a lot of focus on daily life in Spain. I would say it's down to earth. It's not so fantasy-like. It's actually true lives of people. So when you listen to these music, you can actually picture these in your mind, and it's very easy to. Music is so inspirational that you actually can see the pictures, what he is writing about. It is always very good to have image out there, but I think it's also interesting if people, listeners, don't know where this music is based on, but Granados is a master on deliver the ideas, the image of the music. I think it's just so out, it's very pure, it's out there.
Now, these pieces were also later adapted into an opera that had its premiere in New York in 1916, and that's actually what caused the death of this composer.
That's right, very unfortunately. Yes, right after that, he, I believe, was it English Channel, was torpedoed.
Yeah, German submarine.
Yes, it was. He was fine, but he was trying to save his wife. That's why they both drowned.
It's an amazing story.
Yes.
Kind of goes with the music, you know, as you're reading the different titles on the pieces and listening to the music, it's like, wow.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely right. Yes. They're very powerful.
What makes these pieces so challenging to play in this set?
First of all, they're not easy. They're very technically demanding because of the emotional writing. So it has a lot of also improvisation-like passages. To also to be able to deliver the different tones, different sound as I interpret, like sad. Or happy. Humorous, all these different characters. It's just so colorful. So it requires a very delicate touch to the piano. Very fast changes into moods. I would say that's the most challenging. And also the piece is quite long itself. The sixth suite is almost 50 minutes or so. But I always give the tip of practice slowly is the fastest way to get where you want.
Is he also taking some textural risks in these pieces? And if so, how does that come through?
Yes, he's actually, I see sometimes in the music, in the staffs, he uses three music clefs. So this presents a very thick, very complex contrapuntal writing. So there's a lot of different voicing, thick textures. And I was just reading about it some other place that it was very Schumann-like sometimes, using more than two staffs like that. So yeah, we can definitely see that happening here in this piece. Go Yes Guess.
It's interesting that you brought up Schumann, because I know he is from the era of and somewhat had a relationship with Liszt. And the last piece on your recording, the Allegro di Concerto, is almost in the style of Liszt.
Yes, actually, very brilliantly written, technically demanding, but comfortably for the hands, I would say. A lot of people would think, oh my gosh, I see six sharps. That's going to be a challenge. Well, it is challenging, but because he was a pianist himself, the black key sits very comfortable in the hands. And the C sharp major is actually, as once described by Chopin, is the most natural position for the hands. Definitely, it's a showpiece. It's very brilliant, sparkles everywhere. It will definitely make the crowd smile. But also, when you can see, it has lots of mood changes, ups and downs, just like the Go Yes Guess. The slow movements, beautiful, and then suddenly goes too fast, and middle section almost a little bit like an opera writing, like a little bit recitative, and then plus lots of improvisation passages. Very typical Granados style in this piece. So I think he tried to show the different colors of what he can do on the piano in the most powerful technical tasks that he had.
Now, the eight poetic waltzes by Granados are an early set of pieces that he wrote. And I mean, I really love these poetic waltzes.
Yes, they're such a treat to play. Actually, when you just first look at it, you will probably say, oh, okay, it's not, the texture is not complex, or the writing is not too difficult. It doesn't look like it's a technical demanding. But when you actually put your hands on it and to perform the eight of them together as a set, it's very challenging because of the drastic changes of the moods, as you see that he titles them, each one of them are different characters, and the transition between the movements, how do you adjust yourself into the next mood. That is the most challenging to me, but it's very fulfilling and very satisfying to play all these beautiful different waltzes.
And the final piece that we haven't talked about yet is Zapateado, which is a stamping dance. And it's inspired by Andalusian flamenco. So tell me a little bit about this piece and what you love about it.
Actually, I would say this is a little bit challenging for the fingers because of the fast repetitions and different hand positions that you have to actually change shifts. Zapato, the word zapato in Spanish means shoe. So as you said, the stumping, the shoe, so like almost like a tap dance. So lots of rhythm. The rhythm is very crystal clear in this piece. And the drive of the whole thing, it's a small little dance, but very satisfying.
Shaheen, as you were putting this recording together, what did you learn about yourself?
I would say this composer, so far, these pieces might be the most dark and sad pieces I've played, I have recorded, I would say. It's a lot of practicing on how to have the sound that you want and then the ideas in your mind and to transfer them into the fingertip and deliver to the keys, make the sound happen, to move the audience, to move yourself and audience. That gave me a big chance to learn more that about myself, and that's also a training process for me to learn more techniques of how to producing more colorful sound. And of course, it's the most emotional experience for me.
Chinese-American pianist Shaheen Wang freeing her imagination through the Spanish sounds of Enrique Granados. That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. With special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode, I'm Julie Amacher.